I am going to attempt to finish chapter 2 today. Hopefully we can do that. Last week we picked up at verse 11, and I think we did three or four verses. So we're gonna beat that pace today, I promise. We talked about last week, we need to review a little bit because we're not going to understand where we're going today unless we understand what we talked about last week. We talked about last week, verse 11, we are strangers and pilgrims. We are citizens of heaven. We don't necessarily belong here. As people of God, we're to be different than everybody else. We are His people. We are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. All of those things that we talked about. Verse 12, we talked about our manner of life is one that should be beautiful. And if you remember, we described that as our demeanor, our attitude, our actions before other people are to be desirable. When people see us as Christians, they should see something that is good. They should see someone that loves them. They should see someone that wants to help them get to heaven. And everything that we do should give forth that vibe to people. We talked about Jesus said, let our light shine so that people see our good works. And in doing so, it would glorify Him. And if our life is one that is of beauty, He is indeed glorified. We talked about verse 13 and 14, hard verses. And some of the verses we're going to talk about today is hard. That as Christians, we are to submit ourselves to those that have authority over us. And that is our government, that is our eldership, that is anyone that has the authority over us. As Christians, we are to be submissive. And we talked about in great detail that a lot of times we don't like that as a people. We don't like that, and we're going to talk about that today, how that sometimes we use our freedoms, sometimes that causes us problems. Sometimes that causes us problems in the church. It causes us problems in the political world and just in our world in general. And brethren, we've got to look at our lives and realize what really, really matters. My son probably wouldn't want me telling this, but he was talking to me last night. He's getting married Saturday, and he was just talking about life. It was one of those proud dad moments. And he was just talking about, he said, Dad, you just get one chance at this life. And he says, everything we do is going to determine whether or not we go to heaven. I'm thinking, you know, you never know if it's getting through. But it got through. And just we talked about it all night last night. And, brethren, we need to realize that. Everything that we do determines where we're going to spend eternity. And our life and our behavior before other people, the decisions we make, the words we say. And I'm not saying any little thing you do is going to keep you out of heaven because we're all imperfect people. But we've got to realize our life is much bigger and the whole scheme of things is much bigger than just getting our way on certain things or you know, just everything being the way. It's not like that. We live as Christians. We belong to God. And nothing we do on this earth really matters if we don't make it to heaven. Nothing. And until we realize that and we live our lives like that, brethren, we're missing out. We are truly, truly missing out. Peter says in verse 15, for so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We talked about last week, people are going to talk about us. We talked about last week, people are going to call us those Bible thumpers and those radicals and people are going to belittle the church here at Willow Avenue. And I said, that is a wonderful thing. And I know that sounds weird, but it is. If people are going to talk about us because we're doing what is right, God is glorified. And Peter here says, you just keep on doing what is right. You live your life in a beautiful manner, and you will silence foolish men. And if you'll look up that word silence, it comes from the idea of putting a muzzle on a dog. If you put a muzzle on a dog, what do to that dog? You render that dog powerless, right? You take away everything from that dog. If you and I will live our lives as Christians, and we will worry about pleasing God and not worry about everything else going on around us, things is going to be so much better for all of us. For all of us. And all of those things that people are going to say about us, if they see us doing the things that we are supposed to do, you can't speak evil about that but for so long. And they'll recognize it. Yes, sir. Yeah. I agree. And it's that's happened to me. When I decided to straighten my life up, those same people, man, I was what they wanted to be at the time. But when I decided I wasn't going to do that anymore, they didn't want to speak to me. They thought I was weird. They thought I was just, and still to this day, some of those people don't speak to me. But that's okay. That's okay. My job as a Christian is to do the things God would have me to do. He says, verse 16, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Take that back to verse 12. You are to live a beautiful life. And he says, don't allow the freedoms that you have in Christ to keep you from living a beautiful life. As Christians, are we free from a lot of things? Yes. I'm free from sin. I'm free from the law. I'm free from bondage. I'm free from all of those things. As an American, do I have certain freedoms? Yes, I have a lot of freedoms. Sometimes do I use those freedoms to work against God? Let's look back about 18 months ago when this whole thing started that we're dealing with now. What was the big arguments in the church? Wasn't it over freedoms? Was, right? It was over some of those things that some of you guys are wearing right now. Some people say, you're not going to tell me to wear a mask in church. I'm a free person. I live in a free country. I can do what I want to. You're not going to tell me I've got to sit with a row in between it because I can sit where I want to because I'm a free person in a free country. Were people using their freedoms as a cloak of maliciousness to cause problems? Yeah. And we do that, right? You see, nobody is completely free. Do you understand that? Peter here in this verse, he says, you're free, but remember, you're a bondservant to Christ. You're free. You can choose to do whatever you want to, but not if you want to go to heaven. Not if you want to be the person God wants you to be. You belong to Him. Yes, He's made you free from sin. Yes, He's made you free from that old law and all of these things, but yet you still live under Him. We are free in this country. We enjoy freedoms. But that doesn't mean we can do everything that we want to do, right? There are certain laws that are put in place to protect us. And brethren, we can't use our freedoms and to try to get to do whatever it is that we want to do to always get our way. We can't use our freedoms to go against leadership, whether it be the eldership, most definitely, whether it be the government. We can't always try to have our way. There are laws put in place to protect us. And listen, don't think I'm up here and saying all of these things because I'm trying to agree with everything that leadership in all aspects do. I don't. I don't agree with all of that. But you and I have got to understand, as Christians, we've got a higher calling. We are citizens of heaven first. Remember that from last week. We are citizens of this country after that. And if we don't remember that, we cannot be pleasing to God. You see, he goes on with this whole idea of not using their freedoms. He says, you've got to honor all men. He says, not only that, you've got to love the brotherhood. You've got to fear God. You've got to honor the King. He says, as Christians, we've got to learn to respect each other. Does everybody in this room agree on everything? Oh, we don't agree on everything, right? And just because your opinion is different than mine, does that give me the authority to disrespect you, to talk about you like a dog, and to belittle you and call you all sorts of things? No. If I do that, am I living a beautiful life? No. Go to the last part of that verse. Honor the King. We said at this time the ruler is Nero. And Nero is an extremely wicked man. But yet Peter says, have respect for him. Do we always do that? When Donald Trump was president, wasn't it going around everywhere, he's not my president, and people belittled and bashed him and called him everything under the sun? Now Joe Biden is president. Don't they do the same thing? People call him everything under the sun and make fun of him and because he can't remember things. Is that what that verse says that we're supposed to do? Are we supposed to, as Christians, to say those kind of things? And are we all guilty? Probably, yeah. But you see, the Bible says we're to honor that person. We're to respect that person. Do you realize everyone is made in the image of God? Now, some people have you know, made decisions that are not right. But as a Christian, are you ever going to influence someone by belittling them, by making fun of them, by calling them names, by laughing at them? No. No. You see, as Christians, we're to live different. And if we're going to talk and say and do like everybody else, then we're not strangers and pilgrims. Our life is not beautiful. We're not citizens of the kingdom. We're just like everybody else. And I don't want to be like everybody else. Because the Bible says most people are headed down the wrong path and they're going toward the wrong destination. And I don't want to be in that group. And you don't want to be in that group. So you've got to rise above and live a life different from everybody in that group. You've got to respect everyone. Give everyone a degree of respect. You don't have to agree with everything they do, but you can give them respect without agreeing with everything. You can love each other. You can fear God. If the fear of God is not what motivates you to do all of this, I don't know what is. God is the one that has the power to save us or to condemn us. And don't we want to be saved? Don't we want to please Him? I don't want to disappoint God, but I do. Lewis did a good job this morning, and he talked about that fact. Peter disappointed the Lord, and yes, I disappoint the Lord, but I don't want to. I don't want to, and when I do, I'm ashamed of that. You see, that fear of God is what motivates us. And so many of these things, we're going to move on if we're going to finish. He says, verse 18, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward." Now see, this one doesn't match up with how we live today either. You know, servants, and we don't have servants and slavery and all of that anymore, and they did during the Bible, but that doesn't mean the Bible condoned it. It meant that God is working to abolish those things, and He allowed certain things to go on until Christianity had the influence to cause a lot of those things to go away. But He says, even if you find yourself in that position, He says, as a Christian, you behave yourself right. You treat that person right. You treat that person right, and you treat them with respect when they're good to you, when they're gentle to you, but you also treat that person with respect when they're froward, which means when they're crooked, sometimes when they're deceitful. Sometimes when they mistreat you as a Christian, your life is to be one of beauty. Your life is to be one that is not always looking for retaliation. And you say, well, it's not said that yet, but it's going to say that here in a few minutes. As a Christian, again, you are different than everybody else. And as Americans, that's not how we live. If someone mistreats us, what do we want to do? Somebody be honest. What do we want to do? We want to get them back, right? When you're a little kid, if somebody hits you in school, what do you want to do? Oh, you want to hit them back, right? And you're going to look for that opportunity, and you're going to wait till you get it. That's not how we live as Christians. Jesus says if someone strikes you on one cheek, what do? That doesn't mean we're a pushover and we just let people beat us. That's not what it means at all. But He says we are a people that are not always looking for retaliation. We've got a different mindset. We've got a different spirit about us. Because again, we don't belong here. We don't belong here. We are different. He says, verse 19, He says, "For this is thankworthy," or God is glorified, "if For conscience toward God, you endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. He says, verse 19, it's thankworthy. Your God is glorified if we suffer grief wrongfully for Him. Any of you ever had to suffer for something that you didn't deserve? Have you really? You've been accused of something that you didn't do. People have spread a lie upon you. People have treated you in a way that you did not deserve, and you just took it. You ever done that? You didn't think you had to get them back. You didn't think you had to put your 2 cents worth in. You didn't think that you've got to call the newspaper and have it printed and all of these things that, hey, I really didn't do this. And I've known a lot of people that really, really suffered for things that they didn't do. And I know a lot of those people, they have taken it very patiently. They've prayed about it. They've put it in the hands of God. And they've come out on the other end of it. Excellent, excellent people. You guys know what all of this is going to. All of this is pointing to Jesus. Every bit of it. Everything that Jesus had to endure, He did not deserve. But yet He endured it. And Peter is telling us as Christians, a servant is not greater than his Lord. Don't think that you guys are better than him. If he endured it, and he endured it for God, then you can endure it for God. He says, verse 20, if you suffer because you do something wrong, what do people say about you? If I get caught stealing and I have to go to jail for a week, what's people going to say about me? If I were actually stealing, what's people going to say? Got what he deserved, right? What if somebody falsely accuses me of something and I have to suffer for it and they find out I didn't do anything wrong, but I still was just patient and endured it? What's people going to say? Not going to say I got what I deserved, are they? They're going to have some compassion toward me. Maybe they're going to have some strong feelings about it. Maybe they'll have some respect towards me. You see, God's not glorified when we suffer for the wrongs that we do. God is glorified when we're willing to endure suffering for the things that we don't do. When we're willing to endure the suffering of the ridicule of the world and we just take it patiently. God is glorified. And He's going to tell us why. Verse 21. He says, for even hereunto were you called. Let's stop there just for a second. We're called to be a Christian, right? 2 Thessalonians 2:14, we're called by the gospel. It calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And when we are a Christian, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. The last beatitude is what? Blessed are you when you're reviled and persecuted. You know, when people are just talking about you like a dog and may mistreat you, blessed are you, he says, because they did that to the prophets before you. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad about it. Don't overthink all of these things. You are called to be a Christian. When you look back in the first century, when Peter and John were preaching and the people said, don't do that. And the government says, don't do that. And they said, we've got to do that. And they continued to do that. And they were beaten in Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Verse 42 said they did what? They rejoiced. Why'd they rejoice? Because they were counted worthy to suffer shame on His behalf. That they were thankful that they were doing what was right. And God was pleased, whether or not man was pleased. You and I are called to be Christians. Don't ever lose sight of that. He says, again, verse 21, he says, because Christ also suffered for us. Has anybody in here suffered as bad as Jesus? No. No. His whole life was one of suffering, right? It was rejection after rejection after rejection. And at the end of his life, it was absolutely horrid, and I can't imagine. But he did not deserve not one ounce of it. But you show me where he tried to get even. You won't, right? You see, Christ suffered for us. He suffered because you and I deserve it, and he took the punishment for us. And the Bible says he left us an example. And if you look up the word example, and I'm sure you've heard this, the word means a writing copy. And I want you to think about this idea from a teacher. Angie's a teacher back here that's her last year. I'm going to pick on her. And you just imagine that she's teaching and she wants those students to learn how to write. And on the board, I don't know what her writing looks like. Mine's horrid. But maybe on the board she writes something in beautiful cursive and she wants those students to mimic that. What happens when a kid is in kindergarten? You get in kindergarten and you get on the board and you write in cursive and you ask that student to mimic that, what happens? Somebody tell me. It's pitiful, right? It looks horrible. You know, chicken scratch, they call it. But then what happens year after year? They get to first grade. Does it look a little bit more like the teacher's? Maybe just a little. And then you keep on going, and then they get on into junior high. Does it look a little more like the teacher's? Probably. And then they get on through, and they go on through school. Does that writing look a little bit more? Yeah. You see, Jesus Christ is the beautiful writing at the top of the page where the word comes from. And he is the teacher, and you are the student, and you are trying to write like he writes. And you may never measure up to the writing that he writes, but as you progress with age and practice, what happens? You should become a little bit more like it, right? It should appear to be a little bit more like he is. Maybe you want to look at this from an idea of a painter. I can't draw a stick man. But you got that beautiful painter, and my favorite one would be Bob Ross. You can laugh at me. I don't know any more artists. I liked watching him. He'd calm you down. But he could draw a picture in a few minutes that was absolutely beautiful. And I can't do that. But what if I tried every day to draw a picture like Bob Ross? Do you think after 10 years I might get a little better? You know, and maybe 10 more years every day, man, I'm just trying to draw like him. And I want it to be as beautiful as him. You see, that's the point here. Jesus left us an example. He is the one that we are to write under. That's what it means. He's at the top of the page. And you may not ever arrive at that perfection. In fact, you won't. But every day of your life, you're trying to get to that. You're trying to do what he did. And he says he left us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. He trailblazed before us. He left us the footprints there that we can know where to step, what to do, what decision to make, how to handle things when we're faced with all the uncertainty around us. He left us that perfect example that we could strive to mimic his life. As Christians, can we strive to do that? We should, right? We should. He left us with absolute perfection. And you see, that's what we're going towards. We're not going to change everybody in the world. We're not going to always fix government. Everything's not always going to go the way that we want it to go. But this is one thing that I've always told my children. You can't control anybody around you, but you can control whom? You. You can control how you respond to everything around you. You can't control anybody else. And you and I have got to learn that. And we've got to focus on that. And when we do that, then our lives will become more beautiful before other people. People will see that. They will take notice of that. And in turn, that will glorify God. Jesus left us an example. In church, we've got to follow that example. We've got to follow that example. We've got to walk in his footsteps. Well, what did he do? Look at the next verse, verse 22. Who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Now, take this back to the context we're looking under. He suffered wrongfully. He suffered wrongfully. How many of us, if we were put on trial for something we did not do, how many of us would do anything that we could think of to get out of it? Probably right. We would make up something. We would say anything. We would beg and we would plead and holler and scream. And it didn't matter what we had to do. We would try to get out of it. But Jesus suffered wrongfully. And in all of that, he did no sin. He didn't blame God. God, you are punishing me, and you've abandoned me, and God, you've allowed this to happen, and don't we do that? He didn't do that. Not one thing that come out of his mouth was deceitful during all of that. Not one thing was that come out of his mouth was any sort of form of trickery or trying to get out of something. No. No, he just took it. He took every bit of it. Why? Because he saw the bigger picture. And if you and I could see the bigger picture, then things would be so much simpler in our life. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. That's a hard one, isn't it? How was Jesus reviled on the cross during the trial? Somebody tell me. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that'd be hard for me to hear, wouldn't it, you, Frank? If you're really the Son of God, come down. That's appealing to your pride, right? If you are who you say you are, why can't you come down? I don't know about you, but I'm going to say if that was me, I'd have had to show them, right? I'd have had to show them. Yeah, I am who I say I am. What about when someone is spitting in your face? What would you do about that? Picture that for a minute. Someone spits in your face. What would you do? And you're Jesus Christ. You can't think like that, and I can't either. But you've got the power. You have all power. All power. You're omnipotent. And someone spits in your face. He could have thought about it, and they would have just been vaporized, right? He didn't do that. Someone blindfolds you, and they just slap you right across the cheek. What do you do about that? He didn't do anything. Why? He is leaving us an example. It's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. And if I could only get that through my thick head, my Christianity would be a lot easier for me. It's not what it's about. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He just took it. He endured the cross. He despised the shame, but he did it for the joy set before him. Isn't that what the writer of Hebrews says? He just took it. And he did it for you and I. But he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. God, I belong to you, and I'm putting myself in your hands. You take care of this. And I want you to even think about Jesus. All of those things that we talked about, and he's hanging there on the cross, and what does he ask the Father to do for the people? Forgive them. Not that he forgave them there that day, but offer them a chance. Offer them a chance. That forgiveness. His whole attitude was different than ours, and that's why Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have the mind of a servant and not the mind of one that needs to be served. He says a couple more verses, and we've got to quit. He says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. He bore the punishment that I deserve. I have been a sinful individual, and I still from time to time am a sinful individual. And he bore my sins on that cross. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He bore the punishment. The punishment of sin is death. And he bore the punishment of my sins on the tree. And as a Christian, because he did that, I'm to be dead to sin. I'm to let that point in my life go, and I'm living different now. I'm not a citizen of that country anymore. I'm a citizen of heaven, so I should live under righteousness. And then he reminds us what Psalm or Isaiah 53:5 says, by whose stripes we are healed. And I think he does that to bring our minds back to all of that wrongful suffering he endured, all of that scourge that he endured. He says, last verse, and our time is gone. He says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but you are now returned to the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. He reminds us as Christians, without him, you don't have anything. Without him, you were a sheep that was lost out in the middle of the wilderness. You were in danger of everything around you. But because of him, you've got safety. Because of him, you've got refuge. He says, return to him. He's the shepherd of your soul. He's the shepherd. He's the one that feeds and guides and governs you. He's the bishop. He's the overseer over you. He's the one that has charge to sit there on the right hand of God, and he's there and he's looking over you and he's guiding you and he's leading you with the footsteps that he has laid out before you as the Savior. Brethren, don't underemphasize that. Don't take the lesson today and say, I don't care what that preacher says. I don't have to respect other people. I don't have to behave beautifully before other people. You do if you want to do what the Bible says. You do. And as Christians, let's go out into this world and let's let a different light shine. The world's going to talk about everybody. The world's going to say ugly things. The world's going to behave in an ugly manner. But we're not of the world. We're different. And if we're not, we might ought to question some things in our life. I appreciate your attention. My time is up.